Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Big mark, knocked down by Stevenson. Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to a nighttime late recording version of the Monday Waffle. Thank you for listening to us. Probably going to be listening to us on another day other than Monday. Unless you're sitting up late wondering what to do, well then tune right in, keep yourself here, because we have more than enough waffle news to talk about after round 17. And here's the highlights. Subiaco made it 14 in a row. 14 matches in a row they have won when they took down Claremont this weekend. It was also the first regional fixture of 2017 down at Esperance at Port's Oval. That's because of the Department of Sport and Recreation's Country Sport Enrichment Scheme, and that was between Subiaco and Claremont. South Freo again had a very slow start, and I say very slow start, but a huge point differential. But a huge points turnaround. We'll get to that when we review the game versus Swan Districts. Well, the AFL partnered clubs in the Waffle, PLV East Perth, they had their own derby to preview the major derby, the last one at Domain Stadium. And, well, PLV won its fifth straight as Harley Bennell made his successful return to playing in a long time and made an impact in his limited scheduled time. East Fremantle were too strong for Perth in Jaden Schofield's 100th game as a Shark. So let's just start there, hey? Oh, and one other thing. We have a special shout-out for someone at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned to the end to see who it is. Well, let's just start with the Sharks. Why not? They took down Perth. Well, it's a battle of the bottom of the table. Normally you say top of the table clash. Well, this is bottom of the table clash. Yes, East Fremantle took down Perth 11-7-73 to 8-9-57, and it must be fair to say that East Fremantle despite only having one win, were coming into this match with a better form line. Since WA Day, they've come close in many games and then had that win themselves, and it was also Jaden Schofield's 100th game for the Sharks, and with this win, there's a good possibility they might not be on the bottom of the ladder much longer. Perth, well, they were missing 9 of their best 22 in this game since the start of the 2017 season. And East Fremantle, they're getting players back, such as the well-renowned Jonathan Marsh. Perth have lost their last 6 straight by an average of 65 points. Just remember that, 65 points. They're not just being beaten, they're being blown off the park. And East Fremantle, well, they were doing that. They were dominant in particular for the first 3 quarters. They had 75 more disposals, 27 more marks, despite only one more scoring shot. They just covered the ground, but they could have made better use of those possessions for sure if they only had one more scoring shot. But if you have the ball, your opponent does not. Some notable performances for each of these teams. Cameron Eardley, he had 31 touches and 9 tackles. George Hampson, 29, 5 marks, 5 inside 50s, and a goal. For Perth, Clint Jones, he had 36 touches, 6 tackles, and former Shark, Aiden Tropiano, he's one of their best, 28 touches, 8 tackles, and 9 inside 50s. The Sharks are heading to a bye, but the Demons, they host West Perth at Lathlane Park, and here's a fun stat for you. That's their home ground, right? Versing West Perth, who are away. Perth have not defeated West Perth at their home ground of Lathlane Park since 2004. I was letting you sink that in. They have not beaten West Perth at home since 2004.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
So looking at South Fremantle v Swan Districts now, and the Bulldogs' recent trend of starting slow but hitting back hard continued on Saturday, when the Bulldogs recovered from a 41-point deficit to win by 40 points at Fremantle Community Bank Oval. That's an 81-point turnaround, and it was done when they kicked 5 goals in 12 minutes in the second quarter and then kicked 9 goals to 1 after halftime, despite being on the receiving end of 6 of the first 7 goals. In essence, the Bulldogs kicked 14 of the game's last 15 goals to end up winning 15-13-103-9-9-63. The win put South Fremantle at an 11-4 record and still sit clear in second position. Swan Districts will remain fourth despite that loss. South Fremantle ended up delivering quite the dominant performance in this game. While the wet weather did help, the Bulldogs held the Swans to just 242 possessions. That is the lowest tally of any club this season. The Bulldogs themselves, they ended up with 87 more touches, 12 more marks, 5 more hitouts, 25 more inside 50s, and 28 scoring shots to 18. The Swan Districts came into that game with a clear focus on paying attention to South Fremantle's key ball winners, in particular with Tom Smirr coming into the team to play a stopping role, tagging role, on centre halfback Blaine Wilson, and Ryan Crowley, well, he is known to be a tagger occasionally back in his time in the AFL, as well as Jesse Manton, they shared duties on the unstoppable Tim Kelly. Hayden Schloyth had some close attention that game, but he worked through it. He got 22 touches, 4 tackles, and a goal for the Bulldogs. Shane Hockey also finished with 22 touches. Ashton Hams had 21, and Brendan Verrier, 19. Brock Higgins was very, very solid in the ruck. He had 50 hitouts with his 9 touches. For the Swan Districts, they started quite brightly, as I said, kicking the first 6 of 7 goals, and it was on the back of their small forwards taking full advantage of those wet conditions. Tyree Stewart kicking 3 goals, Jamie Bennell with 2, and David Ellard, the former Blue, had 2 himself. Corey Galt, the former Pie, he fought very hard in the ruck. 16 touches, 56 hitouts, while at ground level, Adam Faulkner got 21 possessions, Ellard, he had 18, Turner, 18, and Crowley, 17. Fourth gamer Mitch McKenzie kicked his first goal of his career, and that would be number 6 of 7 for the Swans. However, that might have been maybe the Achilles heel, because all of a sudden the Swans wouldn't kick another goal for more than 60 minutes of playing time. That's an hour on the field. The Bulldogs continued the habit of setting themselves a big task of a slow start, but they were up to it. Physically, after half-time, the Swans clearly just weren't on the same physicality level that the Bulldogs were at. Which makes you wonder, if South Fremantle can come out as strong as they come out in second half instead of having to chase, they could take it right up to Subiaco, and that would be a match to severely look forward to. South Fremantle will look to continue their winning form next Saturday when they head down to Busselton to take on East Perth. Heading all the way to Esperance now, and Subiaco, well, they had no trouble taking down Claremont by 40 points to make it 14 wins on the trot. That is 14 wins in a row since the round one loss to South Fremantle. The Lions are now 3 games clear on top of the ladder and on track for, well, their 3rd successive minor premiership. It was a second straight defeat for Claremont on the back of a 3-game winning run at the Claremont Oval. The Tigers missed a chance to break into the top 5 and actually slipped to 7th below East Perth on percentage, but they do remain just 1 game from 5th spot. Subiaco had to dig deep to win by such a margin, missing players such as Chris Phelan, Scott Hancock, and Clancy Wheeler. But depth is hardly a problem with the Lions, and, well, plenty of players stood up, with Ben Sokol kicking 4 goals from his 13 touches, 7 tackles, and 5 marks. Captain Courageous Kyle Horsley, he kicked 2 goals with 27 touches. Lee Kitchen racked up 32 disposals and 6 tackles. Adam Cockey had 27, 10 inside 50s, and a goal. For the Tigers, state ruckman Mitch Andrews dominated that contest, finishing with 27 possessions. 27 possessions as a ruckman, 5 marks and 28 hitouts. Sandover medalist Jai Bolton, he got another 31 touches for the Tigers, with Tom Ledger also touching the ball 31 times. Kiefer Youve, he finished with 27 and 9 marks for Claremont, while Harrison McCracken collected 25, Bailey Banfield 24, Ryan Lim 24, Hayden Busher 20. Subiaco was in the game pretty quickly. After a goal to Banfield for Claremont, they kicked 2 goals to Sokol in less than 2 minutes, which is quite impressive. The Lions just kept making the distance between the teams greater by each change. At quarter time, they had a 13-point advantage. By half time, they had a 20-point lead. And by three-quarter time, 32 points. And then the final result as 40. They just kept moving further and further away from the Tigers, who tried to stay in it but just could not get the job done. The game opened up a bit more in the final quarter, but Subiaco still ended up kicking 5 goals to 3 to end up winning by, as I said, their 40-point margin. And Subiaco will put up its 14-game winning streak on the line in a grand final rematch against the Peel Thunder at Bendigo Bank Stadium. Claremont will have the bye before a do-or-die clash with East Perth in round 19 at Claremont Oval.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti. I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Well, to wrap things up, it was Western Derby weekend, so it's only fitting that the waffled partner at AFL clubs did battle at Leaderville Oval on Saturday, with Peel looking to continue its winning form and East Perth out to remain in the finals hunt, and Peel continued their emergence as a genuine threat to go back-to-back for the Waffle Premiership with a 28-point win over East Perth to make it 5 on the trot for them. The final score for that game was 12-7-79 to 7-9-51. The Thunder improved to a 10-5 record on the season and a game and percentage clear in third, locking in those top three spots, and only a game behind second placed South Fremantle. East Perth has now lost 3 of its past 4 games to slip into a 6-8 record on the season. However, the Royals did leapfrog Claremont on the ladder as a result of their percentage and are just a game behind the 5th placed West Perth. It took Taberner less than 3 minutes to continue the form that saw him kick 4 goals in the final quarter last week. He kicked the game's first and gave Peel a strong start. It took more than 20 minutes for the next, and that went the way of East Perth's Josh's Hill, and it was the Royals who led by a point at quarter time. It took another 9 minutes for the first goal of the second term, courtesy of Sutcliffe, and that began a run of 3 in 3 minutes, which saw the Thunder open up an 18-point lead. East Perth tried to stay in the game with all their best, with Callum Hart kicking a goal, but having a lead of 37 points at the final change, it was just too much. Peel are now going for their 6th straight win, but there's a big story out of this game, and that is a little-known Fremantle player named Harley Bennell made his return. And he made an impact in a big way at the start of the second half when he kicked his first goal of 2017, which gave Peel a 19-point lead at that time. It was a nice snap from near the boundary, and it's fair to say that it's been a long time coming, and he himself would be absolutely over the moon if, of course, it was managed game time and he didn't play the full match. But for him to kick a goal in his first game back, not injured, walk off the ground feeling healthy, he would be over the moon with that response. And, well, there's the possibility now that Fremantle will get their wish and play him in the finals. If he can stay fit, fingers crossed he does, because he's an absolute champion player. And his skills are out of this world. If he can get into the finals, have some good form there, then continue into the preseason, stay injury-free, Fremantle will have a fierce weapon for the next season coming ahead, as well as being buoyed by, well, he's the $6 million man, isn't he? Nat Fyfe, committing to the club for 6 more years. A couple of quick individual efforts for the game. Luke Partington for East Perth, he's demanding a call-up. I really hope he gets one this season. He's done everything right. 28 touches for himself, 5 tackles, 2 inside 50s, and a goal. Jonathan Giles, the elder statesman of the team, he got 27 hit-outs, 11 touches, a goal himself. Tom Cole, he's impressing. The young guy, he's impressing in his early debuts, early performances with the Eagles, 25 touches. Matthew Taberner, though, he's the man of the moment for the Peel Thunder. 27 disposals for himself, 10 marks, 8 hit-outs. Just doing a bit of ruck work by himself, but it's the 5 goals zip. He was dead eye. If you want to know Harley Bennell, well, he got 12 touches for himself and a goal. He does what he needs to do. A couple marks, just blowing out the cobwebs, isn't he? Well, Zach Dawson, sorry, Poppy. I'll mention him again. He tried a shot on goal, just a behind for himself. Bad luck. Rory O'Brien, 33 disposals, 20 handballs. He was in and under, 6 tackles for himself. Cameron Sutcliffe, 31 touches, 10 tackles, and 8 inside 50s. And a nice little goal on the way.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Well, it's that time. It's tipping time. Tipping results. How did you do? I feel kind of comfortable about this. Quite happy myself. 4 from 4. I'm back. My form's back. I'm feeling confident. I just felt it. I was down the line. Hope you did too. Hope your tipping went well. Pick those 4. Just so you know, only 3 games this week coming up, but I should just run through some of the results from the team because, you know, I've been getting some feedback that I haven't included them enough. So, let's just... We care about winners here. Today's a winner. I'm a winner today, so I wanted to talk about the winners, and that is going to be myself, Jimmy, Poppy, and Mel. All tipped 4 from 4. Therefore, we're on top of the pile this week. As for this week's games coming up, well, East Perth, South Fremantle, well, you just... No. If you could pick things even more, I'd pick that South Fremantle will start out slow, then come back and win. So, South Fremantle will win that game for me. Perth v. West Perth. Well, Perth haven't beaten West Perth at Lathlain Park, like I said, since 2004. I just don't think it's going to happen this week again. West Perth will win that game. And Peel v. Subi. Well, Peel's on a 5-game winning streak. Subiaco's on a 14-game winning streak. And I think that just says enough itself. Subi to win that game. I best also say where these games are and what time you can find them. So, East Perth, South Fremantle is at 2:15 at Sir Stuart Bovell Park. Perth v. West Perth is at Lathlain Park at 2:15. And 2:40 on the 22nd of July will be Peel v. Subi at Bendigo Bank Stadium. Quick look at the ladder now. Well, as we've discussed a little bit before, Subiaco, 14 straight wins. They are clear on top with 56 points and, well, a nice 153%. South Fremantle hangs in there with second spot. Superior percentage, but have won less games, 44 points for them. Peel sits in third with 40 points and 10 wins. Swan Districts is fourth, 36 points. West Perth is on 28. They hold down fifth spot. East Perth and Claremont were there. They're just outside the five, and Perth and East Fremantle on the bottom still, but it's just mere percentage that separates them. They're both on 8 points, so Perth percentage, 64.57. East Fremantle, 64.49. If our other team gets a big enough score, we could have a different wooden spooner. Let's see what happens this week. Now, I promised a quick shout-out at the end of the podcast for a certain someone in the Waffle community, and it's for Ted O'Callaghan. This man, he was a former head trainer for East Perth Football Club, and, well, he's reaching a milestone very few get to reach. He's turning 101 years old on July 20th. The feat itself is remarkable, but it's what he's done with the Waffle that stands out even more, and it's good to see the WAFC have gotten on board with this, but I'll give you a quick rundown of what's happened and who he was. So Ted, he was born in 1916. He's played footy throughout regional WA while he worked on setting up the railway lines. So he's been to towns and played there, such as Leonora, Laverton, Coolgardie, Yarloop, Esperance, and even Bunbury. But when he moved back to Perth in 1955, he became a head trainer at Perth Football Club by 1960. And that's when a certain someone by the name of, you might have heard of him before, Barry Cable, he convinced him to join East Perth in 1978, and they then went on to win a premiership against his old side in Perth. It's a bit ironic. But Barry Cable attributes being able to play for his 400 games due to the work of O'Callaghan. He, as a trainer, was able to get Cable on the ground week in, week out, and says without him, he just wouldn't have reached that milestone. So, him and the thousands of players that he's helped owe this man just their sincere thanks and congratulations for reaching this milestone. The WA Footy Commission realised this as well. They made him an honoured guest because he's a die-hard Dockers fan. He's been a Dockers fan since day one because he wanted to support the underdogs. They made him an honoured guest at the Fremantle v Saints game recently and just celebrated his life. It's not over yet. He's turning 101. Here's to many more birthdays ahead. But from all of us here at the Monday Waffle, Ted, happy birthday. And that does actually wrap it up for the Monday Waffle this week. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, next Monday, hopefully a little earlier. It's a bit late right now, but thanks again for listening. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.